Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
So what could you possibly expect to learn about, well, pretty much anything, if you're going to ask two ninth graders and a seventh grader? What are you going to learn from them today on Call to Action Radio with my good friend Alan Hahn from Iron Academy in Raleigh, North Carolina? What can you possibly... All right, now maybe a little bit on how to deal with a gaming issue. I'm not talking about backgammon or Monopoly. I'm talking about a video game, perhaps an app, something like that. Maybe a gaming issue, or maybe you just have a phone issue in general. You don't know how to program your iPhone. You're having a problem with your Android, and I'm sure these guys could probably help you out with that. But would you anticipate, if we're going to talk to two ninth graders and a seventh grader today, that you would actually be able to learn anything from them about leadership or biblical manhood? Well, I'm pretty confident, despite the fact that they are their age. Right, Alan Hahn? These guys are their age. Stone and Ben and Dylan are their age, so I don't expect them to be old fuddy-duddies, you know, like you and I. But I do expect something more out of them than I would your average student that's their age, and they're grade two ninth graders and a seventh grader, because they're enrolled at Iron Academy. Stone's been there since his fourth year. He's got quite a personal story himself. First year for Ben, who's in ninth grade, and second year for Dylan, who's in seventh grade. And you're not in seventh grade or ninth grade, Alan Hahn. Founder and CEO of Iron Academy. Welcome back. How are you, buddy?
Thank you. It's good to be here. I'm doing really well.
So it's always a gamble, you know, when you start turning over the airwaves to young people. I occasionally do it, not very often, but I like to live on the wild side. How about you?
Well, I have to say I was rethinking this whole thing on the way over here with these three guys in the back seat.
Well, anytime you get a bunch of guys together and you're bebopping around and going to do something fun, really regardless of whether they're in ninth grade or they're old guys like us, you can. I don't think that we ever fully mature. I think that God has a sense of humor, and he just leaves some of that in there.
Well, when the guys like us in our 40s and 50s and older, when we get together with other men, we can instantly revert a dozen or multiples of a dozen year. So on the way over here, these guys are, you know, 13 to 16.
Yeah.
And when they're losing a dozen years, that's not good.
Yeah, that's not good. But anyway, well, they each have an interesting perspective. And obviously, it's one thing to hear from, and this is true, whether it's Iron Academy or anybody on any radio show. When you hear from the leadership of an organization or a ministry or whatever, you expect to get kind of the elevator speech. You're going to get the marketing. You're going to get the mission statement and the vision and all that stuff, which is awesome and important. But oftentimes, you got to go down to the kind of the recipients of that organization, that ministry, what have you, to kind of get what's the view like for these young men that are actually going through Iron Academy. We've been talking about Iron Academy for a couple of years here on Call to Action Radio, and we've had some of the young men on before and excited to do it again. But why today, and why are we talking about leadership and biblical manhood, Alan?
Well, I would say if we could only be two things at Iron Academy, it would be all about biblical manhood development with the family and their local church, and about the leadership development. And as a school, of course, we have to be good at the educational piece. But as far as the character development is concerned, we do focus on the biblical manhood and the leadership development. The guys we are preparing as leaders today, they will be leaders in the world tomorrow. And as disciples of Christ, you know, we lead in a multitude of ways, but we have to be prepared to impact our society for Christ.
Yeah, well, the reality is whether they know it or not, not just these three young men, but any young person, middle-aged person, older person, you're always leading. You're always leading by example. You're either leading in the wrong direction, sometimes in neutral direction, hopefully in the right direction. But these three young men today with Stone and Ben and Dylan, you hand-chose them for a reason, though.
All three of them are elected leaders, and they represent the whole gamut of our elected leaders, from one who's been there from the very beginning, a brand new one, and one with a young man with less leadership experience, but definitely developing in the role. I thought it would be good to have them come in and give a little bit of their perspective on how we actually develop leadership at Iron Academy, because every school will tell you, oh, yes, we do leadership development. And then when you try to dig into it, you don't really see a whole lot of what that means. So I'm hoping that these young men can share some of their experiences, and you know, maybe you're going to ask them some questions about what that really looks like day to day at Iron Academy.
Oh, well, you know, nobody gets a pass here on this radio show, so we'll definitely deal with these young men. But would you say that, like, for Stone and Ben and Dylan, and we'll talk to them after the first break, would you say young men like this are atypical at Iron Academy? Are they normal? Now they each have an interesting story. Stone's got kind of a turnaround story. Ben is in his first year, he comes out of the government school system, and then Dylan in his second year was at a private Christian school. But would you say these guys are pretty much reflective of the normal student that you have at Iron Academy?
Yes, normal in many ways, and reflective of who we have at Iron Academy. Perhaps not normal for the population. But I would say that one of the things that makes them unique is they're answering a higher calling in their lives, which I do believe most of our young men want to do, but they don't get the opportunity to do right. that, and they never rise to the occasion because they haven't been given the occasion.
So for people that are joining us that may not be familiar with Iron Academy, let them know basically the philosophy of the school, why young men, the biblical manhood part, because there's the honor code, there's some things that really stand out about Iron Academy. Before we hit the commercial break, and for people that don't know much about Iron Academy itself, what's at the heart of it all?
All right, the first thing they need to know is Iron Academy is definitely an all-male institution. What we focus on is graduating young men who know who they are as men and who they are in Christ. But as far as an educational aspect of it is, we are trying to teach these young men according to their God-given learning preferences. And though that's a generalization, we definitely know that there are differences between men and women.
And philosophy-wise?
Philosophy-wise, well, our educational philosophy targets the learning of the higher-order critical thinking skills. I would encourage people to go to the website there. I don't want to put your listeners to sleep on the radio right now. But what we do is pretty fascinating. What we've seen as far as IQ growth for our young men in their first year averages almost 9% per year.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And then what about the honor code? That's a big part of everything that happens at Iron Academy.
Okay, pretty much every school has an honor code, and pretty much every student in every school doesn't know what that means. But the honor code at Iron Academy is the foundation of the school. And it reads, "I will always conduct myself as a gentleman, live pure, speak true, right wrong, and follow the king." That is the foundation of what we do. It's the first week of school we spend up in the mountains learning what that means. And the rest of our time at Iron Academy and the rest of our times as godly men, we're trying to figure out exactly what it means to be a God-pleasing man.
Well, we'll find out when we talk to Stone, Ben, and Dylan right after this. This is Steve Noble on Call to Action. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. Also live on Facebook. Facebook Live. If you never heard of that, that's either an indication of your age or your perhaps your digital illiteracy. I'm not sure which. But if you want to be a part of the show via Facebook Live, which is video, you can see that I'm not alone in the studio today. Many days, oftentimes, probably I'm alone, but not today. I've got Alan Hahn, our good friend from Iron Academy, the CEO. That's Chief Education Officer and founder of Iron Academy. And then also you're going to meet Stone, who's in ninth grade, also his fourth year at Iron Academy. We'll also talk to Ben, who's in his first year as a ninth grader, and then Dylan, who's in his second year. All these young gentlemen have been elected as leaders in Iron Academy, and we'll find out why and what's going on there. But we've had a great relationship with Iron Academy because I've known Alan and I have been friends for, 12 years now, maybe something like that? It's been a long time.
I think it's been even more than that.
And so we were in church together and Sunday school together, and it's been an awesome blessing to, as God has birthed this vision in Alan, and to come at education of young men in a very specific and a very biblical way, and to watch God pour out his blessings on Iron Academy. Of course, we're also talking about Academy 31, which everybody for years has been asking, hey, when are you going to do one of these for gals, for young ladies? And of course, that starts this fall with Academy 31. Is that correct?
Yes, and we are very excited to have Denise O'Donohue being the Director of Biblical Womanhood for that.
Who's been on this show before, and she's a professor out here at Southeastern Baptist, so God is loading you guys up, to say the least. IronAcademy.org is the website, as always, IronAcademy.org, because biblical manhood is never an accident. It doesn't just happen. We have to train these young men. Okay, so let's talk to Stone first. Anything else, teacher, Alan, you're the boss. Anything else you would like to add before we talk to Stone?
I think I'd like to do a disclaimer for the public that whatever Stone says is, please don't hold us responsible.
All right, so Stone, it sounds like you have an interesting personal story.
Yes.
And we all do. But tell us about how you ended up at Iron Academy and what life was like before that, and then what it was like going to Iron Academy and where you think you are today.
All right. So before I went to Iron Academy, I was homeschooled.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yes, I am one of those.
I have four of those.
I was one of those homeschoolers that my mom would give me my books and I would teach myself. And then after an hour of doing books, I'd go outside in the woods and play with random stuff.
So you weren't exactly a great student.
No, not necessarily, no.
Yeah. And so kind of freewheeling, were you in a little bit of a troublemaker at times there, Stone?
I would like to say no, but my mom probably has a different opinion about that.
We usually do as parents. All right. So before you come to Iron Academy, you're kind of on your own. Things perhaps not going as well as they could. You're not living up to your potential, which is true of a lot of us. But then once the conversation about Iron Academy and you started finding out about it, what was your first opinion? All of a sudden, mom's going to take you to this place, this kind of Christian school, serious, just young men. What was your take?
Well, when I first heard that, my parents were like, we're going to enroll you in real school, you know, like real school. The first thing I thought about was like the cliche school on Nickelodeon where there's hallways full of kids and lockers.
Right.
And also I thought about the cafeteria because I love food. And so I was like, wow, I get to trade food with people.
Yeah,
heck
cool.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah. But we met with Mr. Hahn, and that was when the school was first being held at New Life Camp. And I was like, wow, this is cool. You know, we're going to be outside and get to go play in the creeks and do homeschooled stuff.
Yeah.
And so it was really eye-opening the first week of Crucible Camp where everybody got together. And I really felt like I was going to be loved by the teachers instead, whereas on TV, you know, where I was thinking the cliche school where the teachers hate the students and they only give them work and they pile it on. And going to Crucible Camp, I was like, they take this time out of the school just so that they can do this with us to grow this relationship.
And Crucible Camp, how would you describe that? That was out in the mountains of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the point? Why were you there?
The main point, the first year, nobody knew what it was because it was this big surprise.
Yeah.
And the big surprise was we had this going into biblical manhood instance where we made Mr. Hahn and Mr. Anderson, they made it a tangible thing, which is where they got a big old rock and strapped it on a pole and had us go up the mountain.
And you guys carried up the mountain.
Yes. And so we carried it up the mountain and we placed the stones at the top. And that was basically our rite of passage into Iron Academy. And the past years that the different students have been going to Iron Academy, they've been piling up those stones. And it's going to be cool because now that I'm a leader, after 4 years not being at Crucible Camp, I'm going to be able to see that monument of what Iron Academy has been doing.
That's really awesome. So what was it like? I mean, that first year, all of a sudden, the standards are high, the expectations are high. You know, I get my hand slapped if I refer to you guys as boys or kids. You know, you're young men, and the expectation, they raised the bar on you pretty much on everything. So how did that affect you personally?
I thought it was awesome because my parents were not spare the rod and spoil the child. You know, if you got in trouble, you got in trouble. You know, go to your room, your dad's coming. And so I sort of felt the same presence of the response, which is not a bad thing. It's a great thing because there was not a set discipline. The main discipline then in the beginning was the honor code. But with everything, time and ripening made it better.
Yeah. How would you describe yourself then? I'm like, what kind of ways has Iron Academy changed you? Like, who is Stone today versus who you were 3 years ago?
Stone today.
Alan's laughing just so everybody knows what that laughter is in the background. So I'm assuming there might be a little bit of a change coming. So how would you describe the change that's happened to you?
I'll start with my first year. My first year, if you think of Calvin and Hobbes, I was Calvin.
All right.
And this year, I feel like a role model, like somebody that stands there and other people look up to me.
Is that a surprise that you've ended up in that role?
Not really ish. I put an ish on that because, you know, the Calvin mentality, you know, being like Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes, you know, he thinks he's the best, you know, he thinks people should follow him and do what he does, which is prideful and arrogant. And so when I was younger, I was that way. But now that I think about it, going back, I'm like, wow, I was kind of already a born leader in the first place.
Yeah. God had placed that in you. So, Alan, from your perspective, Stone today and Stone back then.
So leaders, there's all kinds of study on leadership and whether they're born or created. I think both are actually true. But Stone always had those leadership qualities, those charismatic qualities. But his biggest issue early on was that he couldn't communicate that he loved people. And you can't lead people well if you don't love them. And one of the things that I've seen really blossom in Stone is people know that he loves them now, and he can communicate that, and he has a really great way of getting people where he wants them to go.
Well, I think, and isn't that one of the biggest differences between kind of a secular understanding of leadership and a biblical understanding of leadership? When you look at Christ, he was a servant leader. He himself said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom. And how important is that? And how do you train that at Iron Academy, not just to be a leader, but to be a godly leader and a leader who loves the people that you're leading?
Well, that's a good question. So a lot of our leaders are simply charismatic leaders. They're leaders by force of their personality.
Sure.
That really doesn't fly at Iron Academy. We have some of those charismatic people, but Stone, who is now the elected school leader, also holds the record for the person who did not have his challenge coin for the longest period of time.
And we'll explain that when we come back after the break. What is a challenge coin, and why would somebody at Iron Academy not have it? We'll find out about that next. This is Steve Noble. 'Cause you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever seem forever of discovering. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you, as always, talking to some of our friends from Iron Academy here in Raleigh, North Carolina, which is an exceptional decision if you have young men in your house, as well as young women. I mean, Iron Academy 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, and then Academy 31. What grades are those going to be? Alan Hans here, the CEO and founder.
So we're opening Academy 31, 6 through 9 as well.
6 through 9 as well this fall. So an excellent decision. You can check that out at ironacademy.org is the website, or academy31.org if you have young ladies or a young lady in your house. Another excellent decision, which I'm going to keep challenging you on, as I hope, like you did, like the Noble family has, that you will check out MediShare. I keep talking about MediShare, an incredible ministry, a great way around Obamacare, not only cost-wise, but not having to pay for things that would obviously should violate your conscience as a Christian in terms of abortion and abortifacients, things of that nature. MediShare, since 1993, over $1 billion shared by Christians across the country, each other's major medical expenses. It's been a huge blessing for us. It's made tremendous monetary sense, financial sense, put us more in control of our health care, got us around Obamacare stuff, and we're helping out other Christians as they help us out. Go read the book of Acts. You won't have to spend too much time in there to figure out it's a biblical model. 855-BIBLE-11 is their phone number, 855-BIBLE-11, now available in Montana. 855-BIBLE-11 to find out about MediShare. So, Alan, we were talking to Stone, and we're going to talk to young Ben here, is in the ninth grade, first year at Iron Academy. But you mentioned the challenge coin, and I think Stone set a record for most days or weeks or perhaps months without a challenge coin in his possession. So what's that all about? What's a challenge coin at Iron Academy?
So usually a student earns his challenge coin towards the end of the first quarter, after they've been to Crucible Camp, after we've established a firm foundation for what the honor code means, what we mean by biblical manhood. When we find young men who are not aspiring to live up to the honor code, and I won't say that if you don't live up to the honor code, you can't have it, because the truth is none of us can live up to it.
Yeah,
so we aspire to live up to it. And we have some young men who are having a difficulty with that, and it could be from an academic perspective, it could be from behaving like a gentleman, but it could also being a mocker or a scorner. So if you're not living up to that, and our young men and our team of school leaders have not chosen to bestow the honor code, the challenge coin, on somebody, then they don't have it, and it can also be taken away.
So the challenge coin is not a participation trophy.
No, not at all.
You got to earn it.
In fact, having one allows you to participate in our school roundtables, which is how we handle our disciplinary process. And at Iron Academy, we handle it staff and students together, choosing to hold people accountable or voting not to hold people accountable. And that's been a great learning experience for every single one of us, not just students, but staff as well.
And obviously a biblical model as we hold one another accountable. We do church discipline type things. And you can find out about all of that at Iron Academy's website, ironacademy.org. And for the young ladies, academy31.org here in the Triangle. Why don't you introduce young Ben to us and let's talk about his transition from government school to Iron Academy. But tell us about Ben real quick, Alan.
So again, this is Ben's first year in high school, first year at Iron Academy. And he is an elected leader, which is atypical to be a first-year student and an elected leader. But Ben has come to us. He went successfully through Crucible Camp. He's shown his classmates a lot, and he's been chosen as a school leader.
So, Ben, welcome to the show, by the way. Did it surprise you that your fellow students at Iron Academy elected you to be a leader?
I would say not necessarily in the sense that I was not deserving of the position, but that there are other people at the school who the students are more familiar with to elect as leaders, who they are more comfortable with being over them and guiding them. And so I guess that's where a little bit of surprise came in, being elected the first year.
Yeah.
People don't know me as well.
Right. Well, congratulations on that. It's quite a testimony as to how you're doing there. But tell us about the transition from going to government school, I assume your whole young life, and then moving over to Iron Academy. How do you describe the difference between those two arenas?
I would say the biggest difference is the way that the teachers and authority figures want to know the students and want to push them and not just get them through and out of the way. It's intentional, and I think that's shown through like every aspect of the school. You know, challenge coins, the honor code, Crucible Camp, it's intentional. They get to know you and know what you need as a person. And we also do almost a tailor-made way to get to know the students. We do tribe days, which are where we evaluate each student as a tribe and we see what they need in regards to living up to the honor code.
And that's fellow students, right? When
right,
you say us,
students.
You're talking about other
yes,
students.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And in regards to the honor code, in regards to our grades and how we treat each other. And yes, it is directed by the students. The teachers kind of make sure it goes smoothly and the students take the rest. And it's a good thing.
What was the hardest change for you going from government school to a place like Iron Academy?
I would say, again, it's the intentionality, because I was always used to being on my own and getting it done by myself, and they come in and they drive you a little more, and that's not to say that I didn't do well in public school or government school necessarily, but...
the brainwashing is taking quickly here on the air.
But I would say that, and it's something at the beginning of the year, I prayed for it and I asked other people to pray for it because it was a big adjustment.
Yeah.
And another thing is the physical aspect of the school. They do a lot of physical activities because...
you guys can't sit still for very long.
Right. And I guess some might say that physical stamina is the root of mental toughness. And I think that's something that's also important and that was one of the biggest challenges for me.
How would you say it's impacted your faith?
Having God in my life day to day instead of just letting it be a Sunday thing. And that's not to say that my parents haven't been consistently driving me and I haven't been praying or anything. But it's just more you. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom, and I think that it drives the wisdom factor because you not only know it, but you can understand it more than just, you know, one day a week.
Yeah. Alan, when a student comes in like Ben and they've been in the government school system their whole lives, how do you approach that? I mean, do you kind of have an assumption about what you're getting when they come in, some things that they're going to be – that they might struggle with or might be a challenge as a result of them being in that regular school system that most people are used to?
That's a really good question, and we thought that would be the case early on. So we get about a third of our students from homeschool, a third from private Christian school, and a third from government school. And we have not found that our students reflect the stereotypes of any one of those three, because all three have stereotypes. The hardest thing is when they're coming from government school is we don't know how well they've been educated, and they usually haven't been well educated.
Yeah.
Now, that's not true with Ben. He's a bright young man, and his parents have been very active in his education as well. So that hasn't been an issue. But that's always what we look for. We know we might need to do it's going to be intense that first year getting used to the educational expectations.
Sure. And Ben, what's been your favorite part of being at Iron Academy?
I would say my favorite part about being at Iron Academy is having brothers instead of just friends, and being able to talk to them about what I believe and what things I need to help grow and how I can help them grow. Because in public school, people just want to brush you off the shoulder. They don't want to listen to what you have to say. They want to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
And that just ties back into the teachers and authority figures and your brothers pushing you so that you can help each other and so that they can help you.
And what do you think's been impacted most just in you personally after this first year at Iron Academy?
I have started to take up the mantle of more responsibilities and pushing myself to carry out those responsibilities in a better way. My family, we own a farm, and I'm the oldest boy, so I my dad expects me to be handling those responsibilities, and so I take care of, you know, the chickens, dogs, and we're building a fence right now for livestock, and I just think that carries from school to the house and then back to school again.
Yeah.
Ben, thanks for sharing with us today. Thanks for being here. We'll get Dylan over here. So, Alan, I mean, how high are the expectations? You guys can switch. How high are the expectations of all these young men, be it 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th grade, first year, third year? How do you guys look at these young guys when they come in? What's the expectation like? Because I think that's one of our problems is we have low expectations of our sons and our daughters oftentimes, and I think we've accepted that from the culture.
I'd say it's like the parable of the talents where you have, and I might get my numbers wrong, but here we have one who's given one talent, one who's given three, and one who's given 10. We figure out where the young men are. And so our expectations are very high, but it's not that every young man be as good as the best young man or better than anybody outside of Iron Academy, but that they continually be growing, becoming better young men. So when we get to know them that first week at Crucible Camp, when you've been on that trip, you see what we see what we start with. When we see young men breaking down on the way up that mountain, that's not a time for them to fail. That's not a time for us to say, what have we gotten ourselves into? Yeah. That's for us to say, all right, this is where we're starting.
Yeah, this is where we're starting, and there's nowhere but up to go, especially when we're doing it via God's Word. This is Steve Noble with Alan Hunt. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you with our friends today from Iron Academy. Not just Alan Hahn, who's the founder and CEO. That would be Chief Education Officer at Alan Hahn. At Alan Hahn. No, wrong. At Iron Academy, Alan Hahn is with us. And usually it's Alan and one of the other teachers. And we've had Denise Donahue on, who's the Director of Biblical Womanhood at the new Academy 31, academy31.org. So if you have been listening for a while, not just today, but to Call to Action for a few years now, and you've been a part of watching God bring Iron Academy out of the ground, and he's doing the same thing now with Academy 31, and quite confident that he'll bless that just like he has with Iron Academy, ironacademy.org or academy31.org. So Academy 31 for the young ladies, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and of course Iron Academy 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th right here in the Triangle area of North Carolina. And by the way, whether you're listening in North Carolina or even in this area of North Carolina is irrelevant, because this is something that needs to happen around the country. Not just, I could go on and on and on about some of our challenges with government school, but private schools, both secular and Christian. The big thing with Iron Academy is this intentionality, which you've heard from a couple of these young men talking about that, a biblical focus. And also, and we'll do another show on this in the near future, the differences between how young men and how women learn, and how do you teach young men with the realities of what it's like to be. I mean, you drove with these guys over here, and you know they're probably bouncing all over the car, and that's the reality. I can't expect 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds to act like old fuddy-duddies like this, like us. They have all kinds of energy, and the public government school system isn't really set for that. It's a little bit better for the girls, but not so much for the young men. And so there's all kinds of reasons why Iron Academy is working, and that's why we're talking to these young men today. And Dylan, who's in seventh grade, his second year at Iron Academy, tell us a little bit about Dylan first, Alan, and then we'll talk to him about leadership and this leadership book that you guys are going through right now.
So Dylan is our youngest ever elected student leader. He is one of the tribe leaders for the middle school. It's unusual in the seventh grade. It usually doesn't happen until the eighth grade. Again, his second year at Iron Academy came to us. He's a young man who has definitive understandings of what is right and wrong and searches for right and wrong.
Yeah.
So he's moldable into biblical manhood and wants to be a godly man. And his peers see that, and that's why they elected him one of the leaders.
Yeah, awesome. Dylan, congratulations on that. So tell us about your life at Iron Academy. You came out of a private Christian school. You went into Iron Academy. And what's that been like for you, first year, second year, and now as a leader?
So when I first started there, my brother had gone there before me, and it was already like I was in my new family. And everybody was so welcoming, and my classmates, they really, truly felt like brothers. Even the first day, we were all just so close and tight. And, well, as Stone said, the teachers really do love you here. And that's one of the things I just absolutely love about it, is they won't just be giving you busy work, but instead it's really, they care about you. And if you don't understand something, then they will make sure that they know that you know it.
Yeah.
And if anything's going on with you, they will come up to you and say, "Hey, man," or "Hey, you good?" And, well, like, we've had good conversations with teachers about everything. And so, yeah, it's truly a really nice setting there.
So your older brother had gone.
Yes.
So when you came out of a private Christian school, I mean, you knew a little bit about it, but it's one thing to watch from the outside and you watch your brother go through it. But for you, especially last year, your first year, what were some of the biggest adjustments that you had to experience and deal with going to Iron Academy?
Well, it was definitely a smaller school, which I loved about it.
Why?
Is the teachers got more one-on-one time with you, and you didn't have 1,000 people in your hallway, and then everybody's so cramped up. Instead, we had just one-to-one conversations, a lot more getting done in class, not as much distractions as you would do for a 30-kid class. And then another adjustment was not seeing any females there. It was kind of like, huh, where are they?
At one point in your life, that's the only question you're asking. Where are the girls?
So that was one thing. And then another adjustment was some of the kids in my class weren't as outspoken and didn't speak a lot. And then there were a lot who talked a ton and ton and ton.
Yeah.
So that was a big adjustment, because at my old school, there was a lot of a stereotypical talk.
Yeah.
So that was an adjustment. And yes.
Was it weird all of a sudden going to school with just a bunch of guys?
It was. It was nice, though.
Why?
Because
be very careful with your answer.
Mr. Arnold always says, like at an old school, you would always try to impress everyone. And not necessarily everyone would try to do this, but it was kind of like that. And so that was definitely different. And yes, and it's a lot better.
Now, what about the fact that at Iron Academy, you know, they Alan and all the teachers and the faculty all, they kind of swerve into the fact that young men have a lot of energy. That sitting in a classroom just for 50 minutes or an hour at a time is not necessarily the greatest thing. So how was that for you, all of a sudden interjecting physical activity throughout the day?
Yes. Brain breaks are one of my favorite things.
What's a brain break?
A brain break is when the teachers take you out. It could be fun. It could be a fast workout. It could be running really hard. It could be Indian runs, burpees, planks, you name it. And, well, the teachers, sometimes if we're having a good class, they'll reward us. We can play four square or bounce the ball. And then other cases we work out. If we're really hyper, they get us going real, real well.
And when you come back from that, does it help you to kind of calm down and focus?
We're all in there. Oh, we're we're paying attention. We're like, oh, we don't want that again.
Now, tell us about leadership. And, you know, this is a big deal in Iron Academy, obviously, developing not just biblical manhood, but leadership. So tell us about everybody mentioned this leadership book that you're going through right now. Tell us about that, Dylan.
So this book is all the what you said, all the leadership is reading. And, well, it's focusing, its name is Extreme Ownership. And, well, it's focusing on leaders, and there's no bad teams, just bad leaders. Mm. And if the, you need to take ownership of your, for our example, tribes. If your tribe is falling behind, you need to change that. Or if somebody's falling back, you need to go back and get them and bring them back with you. So it's really, it's based on two officers over in the Middle East. And, well, they account many stories and have many metaphors and stuff. So it really, it's really easy to base this book and put it into your life. It's hard, but it's easy at the same time.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So also it really, we meet every Monday to just, we read one or two chapters each time and then we talk about it. And well, when we talk about it, we could have like, let's say, how can we put this in our tribe, or how can we make this in our daily lives? So we really have been focusing on making it about the school and how to make it better. And
and caring about the people that you have leadership over and the ones that fall behind, that's all a part of it. That's the one another's in Scripture all over the place, especially in the New Testament. And it's really, you know, encouraging, Alan, to hear these young guys talking and young men that are coming up in the world, because God calls us to excellence. We should have higher standards than everybody else because of the Lord himself. But for you, now that you've seen kind of all this fruit and people like Dylan and Ben and Stone and see the changes that take place in them, how do you feel about Iron Academy today and Iron Academy's future?
Very encouraged. Actually, I'm encouraged listening to these three guys today. You know, I had no idea what was going to be said in here today.
Well, yeah,
that was a little scary.
You did and you didn't.
Right. So, God is allowing things to happen that we are absolutely incapable of making happen. Yeah. By his providence, this is happening. These young men are becoming godlier young men, and they're going to be fine examples of biblical manhood, which is something we've almost lost an understanding for. We've already set the bar so low for biblical manhood. They're going to reestablish a godly foundation for what that means for our society. And frankly, we can't wait to do it for the young ladies. As we build godly young leaders that are men, we're going to do the same thing for young ladies. As we are studying what it means to be godly men, we'll do the same thing for biblical womanhood with Academy 31. And the fact that they will be in close proximity to single-sex schools on the same campus, you know, so Dylan will be able to look out on occasion and see the young ladies, which will, I know he's looking forward to.
but there's, you know, there's an appropriateness to that. And distraction is a problem when it comes to intentionality, and that's that focus. And that's the thing about Iron Academy, and I know that'll be true of Academy 31. But as you move forward and get into the fall, this fall of 2017, do we, as just generally as Christians in this culture that we live in, I'd like to think of myself more as a Christian that happens to live in the United States of America. Do you think that we've kind of lost the art of high expectations and this intentionality? We go to church, you go to Sunday school, you get them into the youth group, yet we still have a very high percentage of our kids go off to college, and they haven't become biblical young people. They haven't become leaders. They're not biblically based. I think we have a major problem here in our culture in general, in terms of the church. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, because I think one of the aspects of the sin nature is that we tend to compare ourselves to other people. And if we're not as bad as those people, then we're doing really well, which is not the standard by which it's not the standard we've been asked to live up to. So when we're trying, so Iron Academy, we have no monopoly on the understanding of biblical manhood. We're figuring this out as we go along, using the Bible, using the Word, but as it manifests itself in our school, we're building godly young men by his grace and learning how to do that.
And real quick, you got about 30 seconds. Tell us about the shadowing program. This is an awesome opportunity at Iron Academy coming up right now.
All right, so they've only got a couple weeks left, and this is just for the young men. But we invite people to, people have reservations about Iron Academy. I don't know about that. But I invite you to send your young man to us for one day, shadow our students, I guarantee he's going to love it.
Yeah, and see what it's all about and see it firsthand. And then you'll see how God is working at Iron Academy. Dylan, Ben, Stone, great job, you guys. Thanks for being here. Alan, as always, great to have you. And we'll look forward to talking about how do we educate young men and women, especially given their differences. Hello, that should be a no-brainer. Go to ironacademy.org or academy31.org. This is Steve Noble. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.